Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Stan Hess, who is taking us through a very, very interesting odyssey in his life from the late 1950s on forward. How does one begin in Eisenhower Republicanism, go through a series of experiences in college that lead one to Trotskyite organizations, and later end up in what we would call Euro-American politics? That is the story of Stan Hess, and as I think we listen to Stan's story, we will find ourselves seeing some degree of overlap with our own experiences in our own interaction with the American political and cultural and economic scene since the late 1950s and the early 1960s, where we see the extent to which we have changed at the same time that we recover certain constants that have been true of our lives, hopefully throughout our existence. And as we try to find some political and spiritual and moral meaning for ourselves, it seems to me that that becomes a very individualistic struggle that enables us, hopefully, at some juncture, to figure out where we fit in this political, cultural, and economic universe that we define as both a nationalistic experience as well as an international one. And I tell you, ideologically, I've undergone some real changes since the 1960s. If you are old enough to remember that time, perhaps you have as well, as we see the way in which left and right and liberal and conservative and nationalist and internationalist become constantly changing definitions and terms that we utilize to gauge our own situations as we try to figure out where we are and who we are and why we are where we are at this particular time in our lives. Stan, go ahead, sir.
Okay, one thing that I wanted to backtrack on, which is a definite defining time in my life, before I left Houston, I was delivering magazines to a Safeway store south of Herman Park in Houston, and I had a black guy put a shotgun to my back when I was delivering magazines. He had, you know, woman's hose over his face so you couldn't see who he was. Anyway, he used me as a shield to go into a Safeway and then had us all lay down, myself and the receiving clerk in the Safeway store and some other employees, and the shotgun went off and I was terrified. And so that was my first experience really being the victim of black crime. So when I went to Berkeley, you know, I was all for the revolution, but I didn't want to get shot. When I got to Berkeley, I worked as for St. Vincent de Paul, and then for a year, and then I went to work for Yellow Cab in Oakland. Actually, I went to work for a small cab company owned by a black guy in West Oakland. And then I went to work for Yellow Cab in Oakland because it was a union job. It paid more, had benefits. So when I was working there, after about I started working there in 72, and about 70, it was 75, I had two things which really pushed me into a different direction in terms of civil rights. In September of 1975, this was kind of like the tail end of the zebra killings, and I don't want to get into that too much, other than there was a group of.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com. Colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Stan Hess, who's on personal, political, and cultural, and spiritual and moral odyssey. Is potentially instructive, I think, for what we have been undertaking and undergoing in this country in the last 50 or 60 years. Some of it good, some of it bad, but certainly none of it indifferent. And it's very, very important to see where we fit in this spectrum for ourselves in order that we might be more effective as human beings and might understand specifically what has been happening in this country in your lifetime and mine and what our response should be to it. Stan, go ahead, sir.
Okay. Well, after being had a shotgun put to my back and used as a shield to go into a Safeway in Houston in 1970 and going to California, like I said, I was part of the new revolution, but I was also wary of crime, and specifically black crime. And 75, I was taking a break in East Oakland, 98th and East 14th, in front of the Doggy Diner, and these black teenagers came up to me and said, hey, white boy, you know, I want you to take me someplace. And I said, look, you don't call me white boy. And they said, look, white boy, these are guys about 13 years old, and I was 31. So anyway, I grabbed this guy by the scruff of the neck, and I said, look, you don't call me white boy. You got it? So I went to get a cup of coffee, and these guys had dark glasses on. It was about 10:30 at night. And anyway, all of a sudden, this guy yelled at me, and I turned around, and he shot me in the face from the side with a .22, luckily. And then he yelled at me, you want some more, white boy? So I don't know if anybody saw the movie Taxi Driver, or if you ever saw the movie Death Wish with Charlie Bronson, but everything slowed really, really everything got real slow, and my life went in front of me. I didn't know if I was dying or what, but I was spitting blood out. I was spitting teeth out of my mouth, and nobody was helping me. Blacks all around me, and they just looked at me as if I was a dead white male, and I felt that way. And finally, the black teenagers walked off. Finally, they didn't hope. You know, it was great that they didn't shoot me again. Because I couldn't, I was traumatized. I couldn't move. I was so shocked. I was in trauma. And then the police had drove me around to see if I could identify anybody, and I couldn't. And I tried to prove that I was a working class hero by staying in service for another hour. And the black supervisor, I mean the black dispatcher, said, "Stan, are you okay?" And I said, "Well, you know, I'm going to stay out here a little while longer." And he says, okay. He didn't know what the hell I was thinking about. But, of course, if you were a white working-class Marxist, you had to rise above black crime and understand where they were coming from. So, finally, I regained my senses and told the black dispatcher that I was going to drive the cab in. And then I went to the hospital, and the next day I had surgery, oral surgery on my mouth. And then 6 weeks later, I had another black guy put a gun to my head and locked me in the trunk of my cab. And two other yellow cab drivers had the same thing happen to them. And I was literally the second time, you know, within 6 weeks, I literally was begging for my life while I was in the cab, the trunk of my cab. And luckily, he didn't shoot me. Because there were a lot of whites who were getting shot during that time. And so I started looking at my life and evaluating things. And it was really hard for me because here I was, you know, a stranger in a strange land in Berkeley, a white guy with a German last name who's trying to be a good Marxist. And he's got a Texas accent. And so I started thinking about my life, and I started thinking about things that had really propelled me. There were two things. One, a movie that I had seen, in a film that I had seen in Texas, which probably a lot of people have seen over the years, which is called Woodstock, which was this idyllic rock concert where there was rain towards the end of it, but it was people working together and living simply and enjoying cool music and embracing the world and not being racist. And then there was a book called Are You Running With Me, Jesus, which was, I think, written by an Episcopalian priest, which was questioning religion. And so I thought I was on the right moral track. And then I had these three incidents where I was a victim of black crime. And I started reevaluating the left. And then I became a bus driver. I was able to survive cab driving, and I became a bus driver, and I worked for the municipal railway in San Francisco. And I met some other Trotskyists who were bus drivers, And we started having our own little caucus of talking about, you know, analyzing what we were going through. And eventually, we were very lucky that we didn't go to prison, because we decided that we were going to arm ourselves with weapons and that we were going to take out our revenge on blacks who tried to assault us. And so one guy, he was working at a bus company, and we went and rode with him because he was having this black that was challenging him on the bus physically. And so we were there with pipes, and luckily nothing happened. But we were so angry at being the victims, and the white women wouldn't listen to us because they said, well, you must be racist if they're attacking you. And so luckily we decided that, you know, violence was not the right way, that we had to organize and talk about white men who were Marxists, and then look at the broader picture, and maybe that white men had a grievance. And we just started out from there, and many of us were either in were not married because we were Marxists, and white men who were Marxists who were not Jewish, which we found out later, were second-class citizens within the movement. And so we started looking for other sources of information. In the late 70s, I started looking at a magazine called Instauration, which I found out about through the San Francisco Chronicle, because there was a book called The Dispossessed Majority. And I ordered that, and I started seeing who was behind things, and the Jewish supremacist influence behind the scenes, not all Jewish people, but the Jewish wheeler dealers that manipulated ethnic groups and stuff. And so then I found out through the Dispossessed Majority, this magazine, Instauration, and I started finding out about other people who were speaking out, white men, Christian men, who were upset with black crime, racism, feminism, Marxism. And so I started just contacting groups who were mentioned in Instauration. And one of those was David Duke, of who had started a group called the National Association for the Advancement of White People. And because of his background, I never did join his group, but I sent him money. But I thought, yeah, it's time for civil rights for whites, not to oppress blacks, but to talk about the issues of busing and you know, busing white kids into black neighborhoods where they become victims of crime, black crime, feminism, immigration that was starting to happen, massive illegal aliens and coming into the United States, and then massive immigration, and how it was affecting the population mix of the country. And so I was another odd bird there again. I was out, you know, a former Marxist. I was tainted by that. Now I was, you know, talking about civil rights for white people. And then I got involved in a group called Citizens for Law and Order, and eventually was on their board. And then I helped pass signatures, get signatures to put this Victims of Crime initiative on the California ballot, and then Three Strikes and You're Out initiative, which became law in California, and then the 187 initiative. And by that time, I was working for another bus company because Muni was too dangerous. I was working for Golden Gate Transit. And I got involved in 187, and I went up and down the state and got almost 5,000 signatures to get that on the ballot, and was doing that on my off days. I'd work 60 hours a week as a bus driver and then drive to Modesto or some other godforsaken place to get signatures to get the 187 on the ballot. So I was an active guy, but in a different way.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Stan Hess.
Cat. Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action.
I found this company online and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Special guest today is Stan Hess, talking about his own odyssey in life as it relates to American culture, American politics, the American political spectrum, and what his own odyssey might mean for you and for me in regard to where we determine our own place in this country and where we fit in the social and political and economic spectrum that constitutes present-day America. Stan, I wanted to ask you one question as we're continuing to unfold your story. You were talking a little bit about illegal immigration.
Right.
You know, that's a fascinating topic to me because it seems that this is a place where, in terms of the current political debate, you have corporate America, which, of course, wishes cheap labor, taking a position, it seems, on illegal immigration that is much the same as that of the far political left in the United States. What do you make of that?
Well, it's they are definitely an alliance, and that's why we haven't been able to enforce the immigration laws of this country. And I don't know if I let it slip. I don't know if I said illegal immigration when I was speaking earlier, but illegal immigration is an oxymoron. Illegal means illegal, and immigration means legal. And to kind of jump forward to where I am today, I enrolled in and in the at a North Idaho college in the spring, and as I was in the journalism class, and the mentor, the faculty advisor, let us know, passed these sheets out, and it's called the Associated Press Storybook. And the Associated Press has a series of guidelines, and one of those, they send out these notices of how you're supposed to talk about issues, and they said illegal immigration, and when I pointed out that was an oxymoron to the faculty advisor, he said, well, that's the way it's going to be. So when you read any Associated Press story, and every newspaper gets Associated Press stories because it's inexpensive when you compare that to having bureau chiefs in other areas just to take these stories from the Associated Press. Well, the Associated Press storyline guidelines tell you how to say things. Well, of course, if you say illegal immigration, you're confusing people, thinking that illegal means legal migration to this country, and it doesn't. But this is the whole 1984 doublethink which we've got in this country, where you cannot really deal with an issue unless you use the correct terms. And so this is how they get us over the barrel. And I resigned from my class. I dropped out of this class because I was not going to write for the student newspaper and have to use politically correct terms that wouldn't express what I'm trying to say.
Yes. Point well taken, Stan. Excellent.
And so, but yeah, the illegal, I look at the whole immigration issue as an issue of genocide against European American people. When people ask me what European American means, I say, we're the people referred to as goy, gringo, honky, white boy, and shiksa. And after they get that verbal slap in the face from me and my retort to them, then they understand that I understand the game. And this is very important for every group to have a sense of who they really are and what makes up their group. And I feel that every group has a right to self-determination, especially in this present-day America, because unless every group has a right to have complete community control over all the institutions within their community, they're not free.
Yes.
We're all manipulated by these people who control the means of communication, the electronic and print media, NBC, ABC, New York Times, LA Times, Associated Press. This is all manipulated by what David Duke refers to as Jewish supremacists, and that's the crux issue. Most people, they cannot hear that, so what you have to say usually is we want community control, and then define who we are as European Americans. And that doesn't mean that any other group is second class. That means is we demand to have the same rights and privileges that every other ethnic group presently has because of the civil rights laws.
Do you believe, Stan, and maybe we're getting ahead of your story here. If we are, we'll defer the question to a later point in the conversation. But do you believe that, for example, in this whole question of what has happened to European Americans in this country, that is essentially a situation where that group of people has been targeted for extinction? And when we talk about targeting it for extinction, this gets back again to what you say is this Jewish supremacist question?
Oh yeah, I mean I have been dragged kicking and screaming to this position because of the fact that I did not want to face, which is what is really pretty obvious once you read a little bit. So we'll talk more after the break.
After the break, we'll pick up this theme with Stan Hess. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jog 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. Number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Sometimes I think life is just a rodeo. The trick is to ride, make it to the bed.
We're back. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network, talking with Stan Hess today about his own political autobiography and how he has made an odyssey from Eisenhower Republicanism to the Trotskyite movement in the 1960s during his college days at the University of Houston, how he eventually wound himself to Berkeley, California, became involved for a time in the politics of what some would refer to as the New Left, and how Stan has now reached a point where he is involved in what we call Euro-American or European-American politics and the importance of preserving that culture and the place for European-Americans at the larger political and economic table in the country. Stan, we were talking about this whole controversial but I think very pointed issue of what is called the doctrine of Jewish supremacism and the way in which many allege that Jewish supremacists, meaning not all Jewish people, but a certain type of Jewish person,
many times to be found in places of political and economic leadership in the United States, has many times had a vested interest in pitting other ethnic groups against one another, and it has been alleged that this particular entity of Jewish supremacists have been involved in trying to curtail or to eliminate entirely what was the political and economic and sociological role of so-called European Americans in the United States. Go ahead.
Okay, I think it's extremely important for people to consider themselves who are fit the category of European American to use that term, or Polish American, Spanish American if your ancestors are from Spain, French American, German, whatever, because we are not treated as first-class citizens, and we need to have a fallback position, which is, you know, Mother Europe, which I refer to any place where Europeans are, whether it be Argentina, Brazil, the Ural Mountains, Kazakhstan, wherever, you know, Western, Eastern Europe, wherever our people are, that's, to me now, that's my nation. Those are the people that I identify with, because America used to be a refuge for us, but now it's a very unsafe place. And a people do not turn on itself to become an ethnic minority. And that's where I started looking at the Jewish question, because I could see that it was insane to think that we would do this to our own people. There had to be some manipulation from behind the scenes. And so I started reading about, I read Viktor Ostrovsky's two book, By Way of Deception, The Other Side of Deception, which was about the Mossad. I started getting into the Jewish supremacist character of manipulation behind the scenes. I read Solzhenitsyn's three volumes, The Gulag Archipelago. I've read most of the Black Book of Communism. I read a number of different books. And then, of course, the Internet is rife with all kinds of references to the connection between communism and the Talmud, Israel Shahak's book, Jewish History, Jewish Religion, opened my eyes wide. When I had an Internet talk show for 2.5 years on Reality Radio Network, I had Mordecai Vanunu on, and Mark Glenn and Michael Collins Piper. We all interviewed him for an hour. It was fascinating. I really felt for this man, this Sephardic Jewish man who was being a victim of Jewish supremacism even as much as I was. And this man, converted to Christianity, and to me, he was a saint. So I'm trying to nail down, you know, my parameters, my moral parameters, which is yes, I'm for European peoples, but I want self-determination for all people, but not at the expense of our own survival as European peoples.
Well, you know, listening to your talk, Stan, it reminds me of the wording of the Balfour Declaration, going back to that which was issued by the British Foreign Office in right around the year 1916, where the British government, for a lot of historical reasons, agreed to throw its weight behind the establishment of a Jewish homeland in Palestine. Arthur Balfour's language is very interesting in the Balfour Declaration, because it basically indicates, and he basically indicates, that there is support for a Jewish homeland in Palestine. And then it says something to the effect of as long as the establishment of that homeland does not interrupt the basic rights of the indigenous peoples of the region, or something to that effect. Right. That's the idea behind it anyway. Quite clearly, the establishment of the Zionist State of Israel has interrupted completely the political and economic and cultural rights of the people who were there. And that's, of course, the Palestinians, and we're all familiar, or hopefully are familiar to some extent with that story. It seems to me that the Palestinian crisis that has been going on since 1946 and 7 is something that's now being mirrored in terms of what's happening to so-called European Americanism in this country. Is that a fair analogy?
Yeah, it is. And actually, as Mark Glenn talks about, Mark is a good friend of mine up here, and he's my best male friend. And he refers to the unending crisis of the onslaught against Christians, wherever they may be, for the last 2,000 years. But the Soviet Union was the real defining point for me, and then I started, by being with or being around Mark, I started seeing the connection with that and what happened to Christians by, you know, the Sanhedrin ruling class of the Middle East, and how they persecuted Christians, and how that evolved into what happened in the Soviet Union, and connecting that up with the Talmud, which I basically think is the playbook for Jewish supremacists, even though there may not be religious Jews. I think what you have here is that's the mentality that's been passed down from generation to generation, which is the hatred for the non-Jew. And I think it's very hard for Jewish people to acknowledge that in their own past. Many think that their community is not propelled by that, but I think it definitely is. And when I started reading the real history of the Soviet Union, first with Solzhenitsyn, I was really ashamed that I had taken the bait for Trotskyism, because seeing how brutal Trotsky was during the Civil War, and how many European Christian people that look like myself and look like you, Mark, were exterminated because of our ethnicity, our culture, and that we were not Jews. And even though Solzhenitsyn doesn't lay it out, other books, fill in the blanks, fill in the spaces. I had heard from a woman in that I met at the IHR conference a few years ago that Solzhenitsyn's second wife was Jewish. She was both her husbands were Armenian and were in the gulags, and she keeps up with Russian politics, and she had told me that, and I thought, well, maybe that's the reason that Solzhenitsyn kind of pulls his punches on the Jewish question in his writings. So, but he did open the door for me, and when I started doing more reading, and I could see all the Jews who had been financed by Jacob Schiff, New York Jewish financier, the Warburgs in Germany and the United States, I started thinking, you don't have revolutions unless you have financing by the capitalist class. And the people that help motivate this transfer of money to create revolutions have been, you know, Rothschilds and other such bankers. And sorry to say, our Christian bankers have fallen in line and have fallen for the fact that we need to make money even at the expense of their own people, our own people.
Well, this is something that's quite fascinating to me in terms of this whole issue of political self-interest. It seems to me that looking, for example, at the so-called Christian right in America, I don't know what percentage of people who are defined as being a part of that end of the political spectrum, and of course different people have different definitions as to what constitutes the Christian right, but maybe using it in its broadest perspective, one presumes that a significant number of those folks represent various European American racial and ethnic divisions. And yet, obviously, they have been brought into a very strong political alliance with the Jewish lobby in this country and with the Zionist State of Israel. Is this an example of manipulation and deception taken to its most skillful degree, the fact that a group of people in this country who have an awful lot in common, at least to a point with you and me politically, Stan, have been brought into a larger coalition with a movement that basically desires its extinction.
Right. I think what it is the huge fear in America is to be called a racist, even among the evangelicals. And so they've embraced two issues in order to deflect that criticism. One is the right to life issue, where they say we're talking about all babies who are aborted, that's a civil rights issue. And then the other issue is support of Israel. They're so desperate to curry favor with the Jewish supremacists, electronic and print media, that they rush into that position, especially on Israel, in order to say, look, I'm not racist.
Yes, and this, as you have pointed out, it would seem that this race card is absolutely the kiss of death when it comes to any degree of acceptability within mainstream American cultural and political thinking, and that people are so afraid of being tagged with the term racism, or tagged with the notion of being anti-Semitic, whatever that term is supposed to mean, that it ultimately results in a complete capitulation, it seems to me, when it comes to the basic law of political and economic and personal self-preservation.
Yeah. And I can tell you something else which is really sad, is, and it's connected up with the whole issue of slavery, which is one of the whipping instruments that's used by the Jewish supremacist media in order to bring people around and make them feel like, well, put them on the defensive. And when Southerners, and I hate this because I guess you'd call me a half-breed. My father was from the north, from Pennsylvania, and my mother was from, her parents were from Texas. So I'm kind of conflicted on the north-south rivalry thing. I can see both sides, but I think the key thing is I try to let Southerners know that really what they are European Southerners, to try to get them out of the gulag of the Civil War, and really what we should look at is not the hatred or the fact that the South was right or the North was right. It was a war that was manipulated by Rothschildian money, Rothschild money. One Rothschild supported the North and the other supported the South financially. Judah P. Benjamin was the Secretary of Treasury of the Confederates. And so, really, I look and say, who started the slave trade? It was wealthy financiers that financed it, the black tribal chiefs. Went down the river to throw a net over a rival tribe and then brought them out by boat to the ocean, to the Atlantic Ocean, to where the slavers could take them to the United States, to the colonies, to the Caribbean, to South America. But none of this would have happened if there wasn't big money behind it. And there was big Jewish money and Christian money, but you have to look at the fact that this slave trade was something that precipitated the Civil War. And I had a Southerner one time when I was trying to talk about the immigration issue. I sent him an email and others' emails about what was happening in California, and he sent me back this, you know, smiley face and said, well, you know, this is what you deserve, and we don't care anything about you. We live in the South. And then I sent him back a little email retort, which was, slavery was an immigration issue. All of a sudden, I didn't get any response from him.
Wow.
But that's really where it's at. You know, let's stop fighting these northern-southern battles. Because if you saw the movie The Gangs of New York, for those of you who are interested in the Civil War, see that movie and on DVD and look at all the outtakes where they have discussions of what that film represented. Immigrants, German and Irish immigrants that came off the boat were processed right into the Union Army. And the Irish had a literally civil war in New York where they were shooting the Union Army that came in to reinforce the New York City cops because they said, we don't want to go, we just got here. Why are we being processed into a military unit where we're going to die? So people need to understand that was an unpopular war, but get away from this, Yankee versus Johnny Rep thing and look and see who financed it.
Well, does this not, then, Stan, play into one of the themes, one of the basic messages that I've heard Mark Glenn talk about over and over again, and that is that when you look either at the American social and political and cultural fault lines, or you look at the Middle Eastern versions of this, that we're constantly talking about conflicts, ethnic conflicts, tribal conflicts, personal conflicts that are fault lines that divert people's attention away from who the real players are.
Exactly. Like a friend of mine who's Irish once told me, he says, it wasn't the great famine, it was the great hunger. He said, what propelled the Protestants and the Catholics against each other in the British Isles was the fact that New York money, and I emphasize that, and we know where that goes, was calling in loans and taking over property and then using the ethnic issue as a way to divert issue from what they were doing behind the scenes.
Catholic Priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. For the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710. Visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Mark Anthos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Stan Hess. Just wanted to warn Stan, as well as the listeners, that the next 10 minutes or so tends to be a time of frequent commercial interruption, and then there will be a longer period of time for more extended conversation. Stan, we've been talking about all kinds of things today. In terms of this whole issue, then, of fault lines, and assuming that Jewish supremacism is the real reason behind these political fault lines that have been exacerbated and exploited for ends that have resulted largely in the marginalization of European Americans politically, culturally, and economically in the last 50 years or so, what then becomes an appropriate, effective political strategy for such folks who have been marginalized to come back to the political center again in terms of influence?
Well, they have to be hurt first. European American people have to suffer. I hate to say that, but that's the only thing that woke me up, was to be shot in the face and called a white boy. And I feel like that that the Jewish feminist movement, all of the principal Jewish, Bella Abzug and all the rest of them that promoted feminism, they created a situation where I never got married. And the reason I didn't get married is because the women that took up feminism, the underlying current was that white Christian men were the enemy. And you know, I suffered. I don't have a family because of that, and I'm bitter about that. But you have to move on. And what's propelled me is the fact that I have to fight against that which has oppressed me, which has been Jewish supremacism. But you have to get people to think in terms of the future. And I'm 62 years old, and I've run for public office up here, which is, you know, consciousness raising for some of the population up here, and I've been demonized by the media. I'm going to run for U.S. Senate next year as an independent on a European-American platform. I'm calling for the devolution of the United States like they have in the British Isles, which is they have an Irish parliament, a Welsh parliament, a Scottish parliament. There's no reason why we can't have a European-American parliament, an African-American parliament, because this country doesn't work anymore. It doesn't serve our interests.
Yes, and it seems to me that as I look at the present state of the American political system, it seems to me that we are simply in the process of being brought into a much greater amalgamation with a globalist, corporatist, multinational political and economic structure that has nothing to do with anything approaching either constitutional government or community self-government or empowering the individual and the individual family. We'll be back. This is Mark Anthos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, the Public Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Stan Hess. Stay with us.